On the Mama Bear Dares podcast, we love and are encouraged by female podcasters giving helpful advice on motherhood. Mama Bear Dares aims to add to the conversation by turning the spotlight onto moms who have inspired us by doing big and bold things in addition to being great mothers. We feature regular moms that you've sat next to at PTA meetings or smiled at while she tended to her screaming toddler in the middle of Target. These moms have started their own international nonprofits from their Lego-laced living rooms. They've come out on the other side of losing a loved one, and they've carved out time to produce breathtaking art. We dare to dive deep into what makes these women more than mom, and we boldly ask the questions that we've all been thinking.
So come with us as we share the stories of women who love being called mom, but have shifted the paradigm that aims to stop there. Artists, entrepreneurs, creative visionaries, social change agents, activists, all women who have tapped their mama bears and dared to live full, joyful, duplicitous lives. Mama Bear, we dare you to witness the ripples they've started and begin to create some of your own. Yay! Leslie, we're doing it!
We sure are.
Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. We've been wanting to do something together for a very long time.
We really have. That is the truth. I think when we were, in like the wedding stage, when we both married the brothers that we married, we were pretty certain that we were going to open a bridal shop together. We've just been wanting to do projects ever since.
You always make it so fun. So,
oh gosh, likewise. You know, and I'm thinking back too, like we've done some, remember when we made lip balm for, we made adventure balm.
I think you made lip balm and I drank the wine that our other sister-in-law Emily brought.
That
I don't
might
remember.
Be true. That might be true.
That is that so
was,
funny.
Yeah, that was something that really I just knew like we could do that together. And also then try, it was a fundraiser, so we like to raise funds as part of our walk through this life. Yeah.
And as a quick, because some of you may not know, Leslie and I are actually sisters-in-law. Mm-hmm. We married brothers.
Within months of each other, actually.
Yes.
Because you married Zach in August, and then I married Jake in December. And so we've really been part of this bigger family now for, gosh, how many years?
It'll be 14 this 14. Year. 14
yeah.
14 years.
So we met 14 years ago and have had really similar paths.
So today we kind of thought we would introduce you more. So why don't you maybe just get started with introducing your family for us?
Yeah. So I married Jake, and he is a really funny, good guy. He is an administrator. He's a principal at an alternative high school here in Davenport, Iowa, which is where we live. And he started at this alternative high school 2 years ago, and it's been really, really cool just to see the kids that he's working with there and the great staff that he has. So that's a big part of his life and our lives. We have three kids. Oliver is 11, and Eli is 9, and Sintayu is 6. And they are just as different as can be, but
yes, they are.
they're terrific, and they keep me hopping. So I don't know what else. Like
Oliver and Eli are your biological sons.
Yes,
and Sintayu is adopted from Ethiopia.
Yes.
How many years ago did she come home?
Five years. She's been here with us. She just turned 6 in January. So she's just a ball of joy and so great. And we've kind of created our family in that way. And as you have as well, which is another, I guess, thing we've kind of done together is gone through adoption and learned about Ethiopia. Mm-hmm.
And I, one of the reasons Jake and Leslie and the family were just actually up here in Michigan visiting us last weekend, and the reason this kind of came out was because we were talking, Leslie and I, in the car on the way home from a sporting event. And our conversations always go deeper than just what our kids are up to, right? Mm-hmm. And even when they were little and they were kind of physically all-consuming, and they've passed the physically all-consuming stage for the most part, and gotten to the kind of emotionally and spiritually all-consuming in some ways. Mm-hmm. Even then, we very rarely, we kind of update on the kids, but we find ourselves kind of tackling issues about being a woman or what's going on in the world. And you're one of the main people I always go to for a source of just knowledge and just to get those conversations out of the way, which has been amazing for 14 years, but it's also made it really hard for me to make friends in Michigan. But, because I think that's one of the things I admire the most about you is you are a mom and you're a fantastic mom, which is why my nephews and niece are so brilliant and amazing. But you're also, you have so much going on yourself that, you know, you bring so much to the table for people who have really no interest in the mom side of you, frankly speaking, right?
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. It's, I think probably a conversation is that we've maybe even had before, is just taking a compliment, and I'm just going to take your compliment and say thank
you. Good job. I'm so proud of you. Mark that down for a future podcast.
I think that's
that on our list?
Topic. I think it should be for sure. So those are really kind things that you've said, and I think that's something that I try to be really intentional about because, as our introduction says, we just all have such complex lives, and I know there's a time and place for, you know, the real basic conversations that surround motherhood of just like, you know, what kind of car seat is the best on the market or, you know, just those really basic day-to-day things. But I have always just loved having friends that are willing to talk about just the things that matter on the intellectual or spiritual level of what makes us kind of tick as women and as moms and sisters and friends. And so I definitely gravitate to those conversations and love having them with you and a handful of others.
Yeah, I think as you and I kind of sat down to think about who we'd want as some of our first guests, mm-hmm. I'm sure you felt the same way, but I just felt incredibly blessed that it was like a never-ending line of really amazing women that we can call friends and neighbors and all of that. We're just really, really lucky to have such a huge group of, I mean, visionaries for friends.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, of course, I know you do too, just wish that for everyone. I'm always thinking mm-hmm. like, gosh, I hope that they have a Beth in their life, or I hope they have a Tessie in their life or a Jody in their life or whoever it might be. Because we certainly do fill the needs and desires of our friends just with all the things that we're able to bring to a relationship.
Yeah. And this was supposed to bleed into the question, what's going on in your life besides Oliver, Eli, and Sam,
right.
You. I mean, you have so much going on outside of that too. So tell me, well, first tell us where you're at. You're in a really cool space.
Yeah. So I am at my co-working space called the Creative Collective, and it's in downtown Davenport. And this is something that my friend and now business partner and I opened this summer. So a lot is going on. Just to back up a little bit, I spent, how many years? I spent 11 years working part-time from home. So being identifying as a part-time stay-at-home, part-time working mom, had an office.
You were a freelance writer.
Right, a freelance writer and editor. And, you know, been really fortunate to be able to do that from home so that I could still be the primary daytime caregiver of our kids. And, but it's, and I've had a lot of little dreams kind of happening during those years, you know, during those really in the trenches kind of years. And then Sintayu went to kindergarten this fall. And so I feel like so much has happened. It's like I scooted her out the door with maybe like one tear in my eye, but also like this crazy sense of like, woohoo, like freedom.
Kind of. She was mirroring that, so you don't have to feel any guilt about that.
Don't.
Because she
too
really
was
just leaping for joy,
yes,
always does.
So with that extra bit of time, I've opened this business and engaged in a few other fun projects as well. But the co-working space is great. I love it. I'm meeting so many great people here. Co-working spaces are all over the country. There wasn't one yet in Davenport. And it was something that, you know, I was looking for. We knew that Oliver would be wanting to have his own room as he entered the teenage years, which totally doesn't need, but he was kind of wanting that. And so I moved out of the home office and was looking for space kind of in a cool downtown sort of place and found a business partner who's really savvy, and we're doing it here. So that's where I'm at. That's where I go most days when the kids are at school to work on my various projects.
I'm excited for our interview with Amy to learn more about her too, because I've heard such good things about her from you.
Yes. Yeah, she's fantastic. Yeah, so when
well,
I'm here...
You have more.
So from the business here, I contract with an NGO that works in Tanzania. They're called Empower Tanzania. And I started doing work for them a year ago. I do their communications and development work part-time from here. But I think the interest that we both have in East Africa certainly came, you know, 14, 13 years ago when I started to want to learn more about Ethiopia. And really since traveling there myself to meet Sintayu and then to pick her up, my heart has been just itching to get back to East Africa. And when this job opened up, I was really excited to be able just to kind of jump in and learn more about international aid and to use my skills as a communicator to kind of further their mission there and just learn as much as I could in hopes of someday really putting those things to use in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm. And it really, I feel like that job, even though it's not kind of an 80-hour work week, it just melds so well with who you are and, you know, your heart and everything. So it's such a good fit.
Yeah, it does. It seems like a really great fit. I've just learned so much this year about what it's like to be an advocate here for real sustainable change in Tanzania in a place like that. I do some other writing also. I write for a local publication here once a week or once a month when I go out and find like fun new things that are happening in the Quad Cities in Davenport and feature those. And I do a little freelance work for a university. So I look at essay and entrance exams.
Which is so fun, right?
Yeah. So that's just sort of random, but I do that as well. So lots happening here from the co-working space.
And
it is about co-working. Thank you.
And
I have a book.
Do you hear my prompts?
Is that right?
Yeah. They might have missed that over my shouts of joy. Why don't you repeat that?
Okay, so I have a book coming out in the fall, and this has been a labor of love. I wrote it while I was waiting for Sintayu to come home from Ethiopia. We had a really long adoption process, and
we can call that your creative so as not to go crazy phase, because her whole house is kind of littered with various other kinds of art that happened during the wait for Sintayu. Some of it was, what's that material? Burlap.
The burlap.
There was a lot of burlap happening. There was some decoupage.
I think I remember at one point your husband actually being worried that I might decoupage, and these are his words, his face. Because, yeah, I went through some dark days. And, as I kind of have an artist heart and some really just fabulous, it brought some fabulous inspiration. So I did do a lot of decoupaging while drinking way too much wine in the late hours. There was a burlap phase. Before burlap was big, I might add.
You're right. You were definitely on the cutting edge of that. I
I
was
was a
proud of you for
pioneer for sure with the burlap. But yeah, some intense artistic creation happened during our wait for Centayu. But part of one project is I'd always written short articles, and I really wanted to, and my background in is writing. I mean, I have a degree in writing. So, the articles that I was writing, I always enjoyed, but I really wanted to do a longer project. And I was in a writing group actually at the time and still meet with the same people. But I just, for months, was saying, like, I just want the muse to strike. And I need an idea because I just want to see if I can write a book. So that's kind of how I approached it. And then one day I was running at the Y actually and was inspired by you and the work that we were doing together, fundraising and kind of trying to just inform and get people excited about the world water crisis, and realize that, moms just have so much power and we have so much influence and we can have so much fun just using that influence in really positive ways in the world. And so that was kind of just the note that was struck. And I spent the next year, taking Saturday, most every Saturday morning, Jake would be with the two boys, and I would head to the coffee shop, and a book came out of it. So I spent a year writing and then a year realizing, like, okay, I have a book, what should I do? And kind of going through that whole process. And I just sold the book this past summer to Leafwood Press, and it'll come out in the fall.
I'm so excited for the book. I'm so excited for everybody to read it and be inspired by it. And I am just beyond thrilled that that you got it, that you did it, even though it took a lot longer than you were assuming it would
Yeah, thank
initially.
you. Thanks. And I know another topic that I think would be great for discussion is just being able to call yourself what you want to be and what you are. And I mean, I have been a freelance writer for 11 years, and I was at a coffee shop just last week, and a friend was there, Marlo, Marlo, and he was with a student that he mentors, and she's a senior in high school, and she told me she was going to go to college next year to study English education, which is what I studied in my undergrad. And so I was so excited for her. And then she was like, "What do you do?" And I was like, well, I guess like well, I'm a writer." And then, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, there's something, I don't know. It's hard, I think, when you're in a creative, maybe profession, or if it's something that society has expectations for, and you're not sure if you actually live up to those expectations. I don't know, whatever it is. I think it's something that people do with running or, with a lot of different things. It's sort of, gosh, oh, I'm just this, or I try to do this, dabble in art, whatever. So it's an interesting thing that a lot of us do.
Yeah, it's true. And I wrote about that not too long ago, but then I decided, you know what, I'm done with that. And so I started calling myself a writer. Still don't I self-identify when people ask me, but like I texted you yesterday at the dentist, I almost told the man I was a podcaster and yet had yet to actually produce a podcast. So I'm just feeling really good about this, I guess.
So funny. So you're over it. Like, you just kind of tossed that out
Well,
the window.
Well, I don't, you know, the only reason I thought of that story was because I think it's because at some point we will have an actual thing for people to go to and prove that we do it. But with writing and with art, so much of it is a solo mission, right? You're just spending so much amount of time by yourself in front of the computer, in front of this canvas, and it's not like you can then produce something. Whereas even doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, whatever it is, people know, oh, okay, they can picture kind of what you do in the day. But
yeah,
with any,
that's true.
Yeah, like you said, artistic or creative endeavor, it's a little harder to quantify when someone asks you. So I assume that's why I had this urge to tell the man currently looking in my mouth that I was a podcaster. Yeah. But, you know, you're a great wife and mom, but we just won't, I mean, the podcasters won't hear a lot about that probably for the most part, you know? So I wanted to make sure they heard about it
first.
Yeah,
no, and I think if anything, I mean, we live a pretty simple life here, you know, in Davenport. He works hard and I do too, and we have a, you know, fine house and we live in an okay neighborhood, and couldn't be happier. I couldn't be more thankful for the life that we've carved out here. It's not fancy. It's not anything, you know, I don't come to this with, I acknowledge that I have some unique experiences, but in no way am I exceptional in a kind of the traditional sense of what our society might view as being exceptional.
Yeah, I think that when we were talking about starting this, that was kind of one of the things that we talked about, was just that you and I are, I mean, we're middle class, which obviously we say that knowing that that is a privileged position in a lot of ways as well.
Absolutely.
But I think we can identify with more people than, you know, moms who have access to unlimited resources in every way possible, and our friends too come from various places and positions, but they all remain kind of in that, in the middle, where you're just happy and you know, working hard and figuring out life while still figuring out budgets and and all of that too. So
Absolutely.
But we need them, so we're thankful that way. Anything else? Like, anything else they need to hear about you? I'm trying to think.
Gosh. Yeah. I mean, I love coffee. I'm obsessed with coffee.
Yeah, true. And for Lent, you gave up your second glass of wine, which I'm obsessed with that being a great Lenten fast.
It's true. I grew up Catholic, and so Lent has been ingrained as part of my culture and part of the rhythm of my year. And so I actually really love this time of just reflection. And it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not joking. Like, I gave up my second glass of wine.
I think it's great.
Yeah. And I'm also trying every day to do something for myself, which I'm not great at. I have a lot of plate spinning, which I love. I think that's sort of, I'm just built that way. I really do love to have lots going on. But a lot of times I'm concentrating on all the things that just need to happen to keep things afloat. And I don't always do things that nourish my soul. And so I've also been trying each day to do something for myself. And yesterday it was removing the nail polish that Dayla, my niece, your daughter, put on over the weekend that had totally chipped off. But I'm like,
probably
I'm gonna do something for
some
me.
Way.
So that was my little thing yesterday, as I removed my nasty nail polish and put fresh polish on just for me. And it took about 15 minutes and I sat by myself and it was amazing.
I like that, you know, I mean, you've got to start somewhere. So why not have it be taking off disgusting nail polish?
Exactly. It's a start.
Also, you have a cat and a dog. That seems like important information too.
I think so. I mean, my cat, I love so much. She is my best friend. Her name is Zuri, and she's named after the Ethiopian adoptee that is on this, is it a Disney show, Jessie, about a small town nanny who makes it in the big city. But Zuri is...
I love that you just, talking about Kat, in parentheses, let me just break down what Jessie's about.
In case you don't know.
Making it in the big city.
You know, we don't really watch a ton of TV, but that is one, I never watch shows with the kids. Like, if the kids are watching TV, it's totally, you know, I approve it, but I don't ever sit down and watch. But Jessie, I could watch it all day. Like, we've had Jessie marathon. What? So it's one that I enjoy. I don't know.
That is fascinating.
I know. Anyway, so our cat is named Zuri. And she's super sweet, and cats are so easy. And I will admit that I am not a huge dog lover, and that might be an understatement. I feel like I'm really alienating a lot of people by admitting that. But I've never really liked animals, to be totally honest.
It's true, and most of them can sense that.
So it's been good. It's been a really, it's been a lesson in humanity since getting this poodle in April. I mean, she's almost a year, so we've gone through the whole puppy year. But the kids really wanted one, and we really wanted to, we thought like having an animal, having a dog would be great for our family because it'd be something that the family can do and love. And I, you know, you warned me, they're a lot of work, and she's growing on me. Let's just say that.
She's an amazing puppy. She is a puppy, but she's great. Oh my goodness. Well, I think we did it. I think we did the first podcast.
Awesome. It was fun. Even though we had to talk about me, like I'm excited to turn the spotlight out onto others, but this was fun. I mean, it's always fun talking to you. So
good. Do you have a Mama Bear dare for the podcast listeners for today, or you want to think about it?
Yeah, I think this is probably my favorite part of this whole idea is that we want to dare people just to be the best version of themselves. I would say I dare listeners to be okay with talking about themselves today at some point. Just to show up and to be who you are and not apologetic or ashamed or, you know, or disbelieving. Just show up and say what you are and who you are and why that's awesome.
I love it. Mama Bear dares you to be okay with talking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfect.
Okay, good.
I do. Well, thank you, sister.
Oh, thank you, sister.